Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up on the show, it is going to be Jensen Lewis, former Major League closer, will join us. We'll go over all things baseball, playoff picture, awards, and maybe get a football thought or two with Jensen. So we will talk to Jensen in just a minute. And that was quite the night on Monday with Crow Armstrong from the Cubs and Ohtani both hitting two homers. But Crow Armstrong was a walk-off. Ohtani hitting two in Colorado doesn't carry the same weight. But that line continues to stay what it's been for a couple of weeks now. So I'll get to that here in a minute. But I'll start with the Yankees. And it just feels like, you know, Max Fried, for those that didn't see, back on the IL. He just came off a few weeks ago, and now he's back on. Bone bruise, left elbow, which is obviously his throwing arm. It just feels like it's not the Yankees' year. And, it hasn't been the Yankees' year since 2009, but it just feels like these injuries, it's just not, I don't know, it's not going to happen. It's not meant to be. And too much of it is hypotheticals. And, well, if they're healthy, when they're healthy, if Judge comes back, when Judge comes back, and Bellinger will be back, Stan, and there is a version. And the best version of the Yankees, if this were just a video game and you turn injuries off and we send out everybody at full strength, the Yankees are not only the best team in the American League, they're the best team in the American League by a pretty wide margin, because you have Judge, Rice, Stanton, Bellinger, Yad Garcia. I mean, that's, I know Chisholm's not, you know, everybody's favorite player, including mine, but that is a loaded team when you consider Fried and Cole and Rodon and Schlittler. And it's just, they're so much better in a watered down, now get to the World Series, who knows? The National League has obviously the Dodgers and some strong teams. But as far as the American League, the Yankees at full strength are the best team, but it just doesn't feel like they're ever going to be at full strength. And Fried, you know, when you get hurt this time of year as a pitcher and it's your throwing arm, we're 6 weeks away from the playoffs. So they're going to shut them down for a little bit, you know, rest, test it, rehab, all these things you do when you have a pitcher and you're careful and he's, you know, making a lot of money. You're not going to want to do further damage and rush him back. And, you know, talking about rehab starts, and you get to the point where, you know, at some point you come back, there's nowhere to rehab. The minor leagues are done with. I don't know that you see Fried again. Now, you still have, in a playoff series, Schlittler, Cole, Rodon came back on Tuesday, and then you piece it together, you know, the weathers of the world. I don't think Warren will see them out in a big spot in the playoffs with the way he's pitching. But you've got enough pitching, but it just feels like there's too many caveats, there's too many ifs, and they're still the short shot to win the American League at plus 300, plus 400 to rally back and win the division. I think there's, A, not enough time left. I think there'd be enough time left if they had their guys. I just don't think by the time they get their guys back, the guys that are coming back, Bellinger, sooner rather than later, and then eventually you'd hope Judge and Stanton. I just don't know if running down Tampa is realistic, which means you're in the best of three, and the same kind of thing as last year where you deal with Boston. If you get by that, who knows? But the sweet spot, I mentioned this a little bit the other day, the sweet spot's actually kind of the sixth seed, because you get the AL West winner who, I mean, hell, might be under 500. And then you possibly and probably get the White Sox as the two, because Major League Baseball does not reseed. So you go from the three to, your path could be like the Astros under 500, then the White Sox. And all of a sudden you're in the ALCS, as opposed to, you know, what else you have to deal with if you're the Yankees and you deal with, you know, the Red Sox and probably Tampa. Now, again, neither of those teams are unbeatable, but you'd rather the six seed route than being in that four or five. So that's interesting. Mentioned Crow Armstrong and Ohtani both hit homers. I keep saying this. I just think it's this simple. If Ohtani comes back and pitches two or three more starts, good starts, he probably has enough good pitching in the bank to win it. If he doesn't pitch, they're probably looking for a reason to give it to somebody else, because he's won it so many times. He won it a couple times with the Angels. He's won it now both years with the Dodgers. If he's going to win it this year, where he's only pitching like less than a half of the year, you're basically just, you know, give him the award every year, which I have no problem with. If he deserves it, he deserves it. But I wonder, voter fatigue doesn't really become an issue like it is in these other sports, where it feels like in these other sports, basketball, all right, we give it to Jokic too many times, we have to give it to Embiid. Oh, we can't give it to Allen again. Let's give it to this guy. Let's give it to that. They're trying to mix it up and move it around. But he has pitched this season, Ohtani, enough where, you know, starting 14 games, 8-2, 1.79 ERA. I mean, that is pretty good. He did throw 85 innings. If you throw another two or three starts, you get over 100 innings of sub-2 ERA baseball. He's hitting .295 with 29 homers, so he's going to probably not get to 40 homers, but he's going to get close. So let's just say he hits 300 with 38 homers, and, you know, even if he doesn't do anything, he's still 8-2 with a sub-2 ERA. I think a lot of it, I think all things being equal, Otani should get it, but I don't know if the voters are gonna look at it that way. So I think it's properly priced, which is a boring answer, but certainly a strong case to be made for Otani. And if he gets back on the mound, man, sub-2 ERA, 38 homers, 100 RBIs, hitting 300. I mean, that's a ridiculous season. And he's the more valuable player than Crow Armstrong. But when you factor in the voter fatigue, now Otani seems going to win the division. The Cubs probably are not. So that's another thing. I think it's properly priced. I don't think it's worth a bet. It's fun to watch. It's fun to monitor. It's going to be a little bit like the Judge Cal Raleigh race, which is funny to look back on now. Because Raleigh's having such a bad year. I don't know if Judge is hurt, but it's amazing how many two. I was looking at Cal Raleigh's stats, the Mariners catcher. Cal Raleigh, Vlad Guerrero Jr., Gunnar Henderson. It's amazing how many of these guys have just fallen off the face of the earth. Guys that, you know, top of the league, MVP-type candidates. Now it's like they're just, you know, barely playable. It's crazy, the drop-off. But it's going to feel like that kind of race where with a month or so to go, you can certainly make your case for Otani, make your case for Armstrong. But we're almost there. A couple weeks left in August, so it's time is flying by. And once football starts, it feels like baseball goes to the back burner, but a lot of these races are really good. You kind of got a bunch of teams for two spots. In the National League, you figure Cubs, Brewers going to get in, Braves, Dodgers going to get in as division winners, and then it's probably Philly and San Diego with the Diamondbacks right behind there. Could they steal a spot? We'll see what happens with Marte, who didn't show up Monday in Fenway, which is a weird story and kind of a scary story. Not kind of a scary story. It is a scary story. And then you got the teams, the Cardinals, the Marlins. I keep waiting for the Pirates to make a run. I just don't know if it's going to happen with the Pirates. Every time they win two or three games, they think, all right, the talent's there. I could see the path. And then they just, they kind of stumble. There's a few teams like that. Baltimore's like that. There's a bunch of teams that you just keep, all right, are they going to make a run? Is this it? Is this it? And they just never quite get going. But the American League, I think it's, you know, we know the three teams in the AL East are getting in. Somebody's going to win the Central, which is probably the White Sox. Your guess is as good as mine is in the West. I guess I would go with the Astros because they're in first right now, and you have a lead, and you don't trust the other two teams. But we'll see what happens there. Seattle is another team that just, it's hard. People don't want to give up on them, but I don't want to have faith in them either. And then the sixth seed, I mean, your guess is as good as mine, Orioles. Tigers, you go down the list. I don't think it'll be the Twins. I don't think it'll be the Guardians. I would say somewhere, Blue Jays certainly in the mix. And that is, that's a pretty desirable spot. You could have a team that gets in, you know, 82, and you look up and before you know it, they're in the ALCS which is the way the bracket breaks there. And on the NL side of things too, if Philly's going to be dangerous. I know they haven't played well against good teams. If they drop to the six, which is very possible, LA's the three. Well, let's just say LA's the three. And right now, LA is plus 470 to be the three. And I don't mind that as a bet. I think they've got their issues. Tucker's, what a disaster that's been. Teams dodge the bullet there. If you had a Philly-Dodger playoff series, they played last year. If they played again this year, and that last year was the best of five, this year would be the best of three. Any way you line it up, and I don't know who would go game one, Sanchez or Wheeler, but if you go Sanchez, Wheeler, Lizardo in a three-game set, I don't care who you are. The Dodgers are going to throw their guys too, and they're going to have Scooble and Snell and, you know, you all, Yamamoto, that they've got plenty of pitching too, but that is not an easy three-game series for anybody. Philly would be very live to beat the Dodgers or beat anyone. They would be very dangerous, whether the six or the five, they're pitching plays, and they got a good closer. They're pitching plays in a short series like this, so it'll be fun. A couple weeks, college football, pennant races, great time of the year, and a great time to talk to Jensen Lewis. That is next. This is the Should Have Bet More podcast. All right, let's go to the bullpen. You can catch him, VSiN by the book, 7 a.m. to 10 Eastern, and he joins us now. It is Jensen Lewis. Jensen, former Major League reliever, closer. What's up, man? We're coming down the stretch here. Football, exciting time of the year. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, always great to be with you, and you're right. What a race we'll have on both sides of the ledger here, both division races, wild card races, a lot of scoreboard watching here the final 6 weeks.
What do you make? We'll start with the Fried injury. What do you make? To me, it seems like, man, if you're the Yankees and you're just a Yankee fan, if you have Yankee futures, if you're talking to yourself, if you're talking yourself into it, which you can do with the pitching and the talent returning, I don't know, it gets harder and harder. Well, if Judge comes back, well, if this happens, it feels like, man, it's just the injuries are going to outweigh the possibility of having your team whole. Now, they've got a lot of pitching, and you line up Schwitler, Cole, and Rodon in a playoff series, it's still not bad, but I don't know, starting to lose hope that the Yankee run is coming here come the fall. What's your take on this injury? Do we see Fried again? Just big picture thoughts.
Well, selfishly, a huge future ticket that I have, the Knicks to win the NBA title back when it was 35-1, and then also parlaying that with the Yankees to win the World Series, that's upwards of 287-1 right now. So I'm going to keep my fingers crossed, just not only to get in, and Will, this would be a great exercise because I'm with you too. I'm a realist when I look at this lineup. The pitching, even if Fried is not healthy by the end of the year, if I can get a semblance of Schlittler and Cole the way they're going right now, and then whether it is Rodon who's going to come back against the Orioles, or you know the way that Ryan Weathers has pitched this year, figuring it out in the back end of the bullpen, I think you're pitching wise going to be as good as anyone on the American League side of the tournament. Again, to me, there's not really outside of Seattle, and Seattle has their own issues. You know, there's not many staffs that are going to be deeper than the Yankees. You are right, though. The offense is the most alarming part of it. I do think the Luis Garcia Jr. addition will benefit them down the stretch. If I can get one of Bellinger, Stanton back by the 1st of September, I would feel really great about that. If it's middle of September for Judge, you've said it a lot, we've said a lot, any Judge is better than no Judge. And just even the decoy, if you will, of him being in there, one swing could change it. I am going to probably find a way to monetize should the Yankees qualify for the wild card round instead of running down the Rays for a top two spot. I think there's ways to be able to do that. But again, man, you and I have watched enough this year. Like, there's no one that's just running away with where you're like, oh, that's the team we got to run down. That's the team we got to be looking for. You can make an argument. Whatever six participants find their way in, great strengths, but also plenty of weaknesses. So I'll take my shot still with the Yankees and have them find their way in.
Any value 4-1 to win the division? Or you know what? It's just too many games, too many injuries, which I probably defer to the latter.
Yeah, I'm with you. And, you know, the kind of the way that Baltimore and Toronto have turned it on here a little bit. I mean, that's now a path of resistance that maybe we didn't anticipate before. And unless Tampa just falls all over themselves at home here, a couple of big homestands that they'll have finishing up the year, hard to think that you can run them down. But hey, six games, we've seen crazier deficits. Hey, just look a year ago when Detroit had 15.5 game lead over Cleveland. They blow that thing up. And this Yankee offense better than that Cleveland offense last year. So anything possible, but I'm with you. I'd pass on any division futures in the East.
Odds to win the American League at DraftKings. Yankees 3-1, Rays plus 350. Red Sox, who have cooled off big time, 6-1. Astros 7-1. White Sox plus 750. Then everyone else is double digits. Rangers 14-1. Mariners 15-1 somehow. Blue Jays 19-1. Tigers 20-1. Orioles 28-1. Your Cleveland Guardians 31. I would say normally I'll just stop reading these teams, but I don't think you count on any of these teams because like you said, you get in, who knows? Plus, if you're the sixth seed, you draw the three, which is not bad, the AOS, and then you draw the two seed. The Major League Baseball doesn't reseed, which could be the White Sox. You could have a pretty realistic path to the ALCS. Any of those numbers, I give you a $100 free roll. Where are you going with that bet?
Probably Detroit at 20-1. Ooh. And just because the offense has now given me a little more hope with where they've been able to slug, and they've also been able to add the speed dynamic too. I think they're more athletic with what they've been able to put out there. I'll be honest, Will, I did not expect Cater Montero to be this critical of an asset. I had a chance to talk with AJ Hinch a couple of weeks ago, and you know, he really illustrated how much Montero has been such a boost. I gave Jackson Jobe now for the stretch run, you know, plenty of time for him to onboard. Troy Melton has been, you know, outside of Tarek Skubal for the bulk of the year, the best starting pitcher for the Tigers. And I think now you have that rotation that has enough to be able to run down a playoff spot. Again, there's not a lot of road to be able to have to cover here to get in. And I think you hit the most important point, Will. The sixth seed. So think about it. At the time that you and I are talking, it's still a six-game gap between the Red Sox and an 8.5-game gap between the Yankees for those top two wildcard spots. make no bones about it, if I'm the number six team, and yes, I have to go on the road for a best of three and a wild card, I would absolutely take my chances against Houston, against Texas. Maybe Seattle finds their way back into the conversation. You 100% would rather that path than having to know what you got to go through for not only the wild card round against a Yankee or Red Sox club, but then eventually a Rays team that has been so good at home.
I was shocked they got swept this weekend. They blew a lead on Sunday. I thought I was doing the show before Friday, Thursday afternoon. I was, man, for as great as the White Sox have played, for as poorly as Detroit have played, it's on your racket. You're down 2.5 games with 3 at home. You sweep. You're in first place Sunday afternoon. And the sweep went the other way. I was really surprised by that. That being said, White Sox minus 220 to win the Central. Tigers plus 550. I mean, I would ask if there's enough time. There is enough time. I don't know. It's hard to pick them after that sweep. They did get a game back Monday night. Well, like you mentioned, we're recording before Tuesday. It's plus 550. Is that enough to take a shot for you? Who do you you ultimately think the White Sox win this division?
I think so. Let's look at the head-to-heads here too, Will. If you look at it, you know, the White Sox 6-3 here against the Tigers. So one more win, they get that all-important tiebreaker, you know, there at the end of the year. So even if Detroit, you know, essentially add a game and a half, you know, on to Detroit. Now, Tigers will have to go to Chicago second to last week of the season. Think of this finishing stanza if you're the Tigers: at Toronto, if they're still in it, at Chicago, and then you're home against Washington. Who knows if the Nats are still playing meaningful baseball at that point. And then Pittsburgh, you know, who they just, you know, are getting into a series, and we'll see how it ends up for the body of work here. But the Tigers' road after this road trip between Pittsburgh and Kansas City, had home against Tampa, home against the Dodgers, then at the Twins and at the Guardians before they come back home against the Twins and the Rockies. So it's there as far as, you know, having some teams where if you want to go play the Rays and the Dodgers, you want them at home. And if you got to go on the road, they've handled the Central this second half. So very interested to see where the Tigers are once they get back on the road at the end of August.
Who wins the AL West? We have, boy, Astros minus 145, the Rangers plus 320, the Mariners plus 340. If we could just void this playoff spot, I think everyone would be okay with it. But sometimes it is kind of fun to just, like, man, you get this crappy division and somebody has to win it, somebody has to get in. Kind of reminiscent of, like, the NFC South where, you know, somebody, Carolina, 8-9, congrats, you're in the playoffs and you host a game. I don't know. Do you have any conviction on who's going to win? It's hard to, right?
I'd probably go Seattle just because it's where I was at the beginning of the year. And I feel that, you know, this is a group too that has really underachieved. We know the offense has been so bad. Buddy, I this is a wild stat to say. Beginning of the week, Cal Raleigh, I think, had 52 hits through the body of work of the year. Aaron Judge had 53 and hasn't played since May. To see that fall off after such an unbelievable MVP-esque season, I think that is the most stark thing that I did not see coming. That being said, you give me Seattle's staff versus the Rangers and the Astros, I always will err on the side of better pitching. I think I would rather take Seattle at home. They've been dreadful on the road. I get it. But in a division that might as well be a coin flip at this point, I've been pot committed on Seattle all year. I'll stick with them to win the West.
Who gets the sixth seed? Sounds like you're leaning towards Detroit.
Yeah, I think that's probably the smart money at this point. Just, I mean, you tell me. I don't think Minnesota has enough for the horses.
No.
Cleveland has a dreadful offense. They can't even, you know, get it right when Jose Ramirez and Chase Elotter are on the same field at the same time. I would say Baltimore. I know you and I have looked at Baltimore, man. And this is kind of the weird part of looking at them. They've been just a tad above 500 against teams with a better record than 500. They've been better at home. You know, is that a team that has enough offense down the stretch? They could, if Pete Alonso and Gunnar Henderson are doing what they're doing the last week or two, they're going to be fine because those two can carry an offense. Oof. I'll lean Detroit, but you and I have been high on Baltimore. I picked them to win the East at the beginning of the year. I'll give them one final shot. If it's not going to be Detroit, I'll look at Baltimore then.
Who are they going to give the NL MVP to? What a race! What a event Monday night where Ohtani hits two, but Carl Armstrong hits two. One on the first pitch he sees, the first pitch is a leadoff guy, and then to walk it off. Armstrong minus 115, Ohtani minus 105. Seems like these odds have been kind of stagnant for, I don't know, 2-3 weeks now. I've been saying, you know what, it comes down to if Ohtani pitches, because he's got some decent innings banked, but they're probably looking to give it to somebody else after he won it year after year. You tell me, is this worth a bet? Do you lean towards PCA or do you lean towards Ohtani?
If they continue this way and the Cubs and the Brewers with 2 weeks to go have the Central Division on the line, and PCA has a couple of swings or a couple of plays that end up making the difference, then I think it goes there. But you're right. I've been on record too as saying if Ohtani doesn't throw another inning, then it's PCA's to lose. And I would say, looking at this stretch for the Cubs, they get that big four-game series against Milwaukee at home at Wrigley to finish the month of August and begin the month of September. Then they got to go to Milwaukee after a quick little trip to South Beach. So that right there, you could be seeing with basically, you know, 3 weeks to go, if Pete Crow Armstrong is the single reason or the biggest reason why they end up taking the season series from Milwaukee, then I think it's his to lose.
Cubs plus 400 to catch Milwaukee in the Central. Is that enough for you? You think Milwaukee holds on? That was a bad weekend. That was a good win on Monday, but that was a bad weekend for the Cubs. Lost a few games to the Cardinals. And on the other hand, you go into that weekend saying, all right, we got the Cardinals. We can make up some ground because the Brewers are playing the Dodgers. And you end up going backwards. And it's just hard when you're making up a big deficit. It's just hard to go backwards. We could sit here and say, hey, make up a game here, make up a game there. You don't give yourself a lot of room to go backwards. That being said, Cubs can make this interesting. I think they can, but I lost a little confidence after the last week or so.
I did pick them to win the Central this year. I'll stick with it. I think they find enough. And the reinforcements at the deadline here, you know, Will, what was their Achilles heel? They needed some competitive and top-end starting pitching. You get that in Gausman and Holmes. Imanaga has actually been really good at home for the majority of about the last month. And I wonder if they end up deciding to put Edward Cabrera in the bullpen and kind of be that bulk inning guy, you know, allow him to just pin his ears back and throw 100 and get some of the sharpness back to the off speed. I think they finally have the horses to be able to run it down. Looking at Milwaukee's schedule too, you know, you're playing an Atlanta team here at the end of the week that has been much better. The Mets all of a sudden are playing like they feel like they still have a shot. Texas, then you got to go on the road against Chicago to Cincinnati, back home against Chicago and Cincinnati. I think we're in it. Final 2 weeks, I think the Central's still on the line.
All right, so our four playoff teams in the National League, we're putting the Dodgers, the Braves, the Brewers, and the Cubs. You got four pretty much in. I look at it, two teams for three spots, Philly, San Diego leading right now, and then, you know, a whole bunch of teams, Arizona, Miami, St. Louis. I keep waiting for Pittsburgh to make a run. It feels like there's five or six of these teams. You just keep waiting for them to make a run. They win two or three games, they give you hope, and then they just fall on their face. They lose some stupid games. Even Cincinnati's in the mix. I don't know where you draw the line, but my guess is you're going to say it's Philly and San Diego and it's status quo. Or do you think Arizona gets in? Who would be your two spots here in terms of the final wild card spots?
Yeah, you know, Philly, just looking at the numbers, how about Philly? Six games under 500 at the time you and I were talking against teams with a 500 record or better. San Diego's eight games under in that category. And then even looking at Pittsburgh, they're 10 games under. So, you know, you're going to end up playing some good teams down the stretch, and these teams have not done well. I think Philly has enough. I'll take their rotation the way they are. I am a little worried about their offense into October. Back end of that lineup does not give me a lot of hope. If any team was going to run it down, I think it's Arizona. Torey Lovello's got this team believing. And if, I guess the caveat would be, if Ketel Marte doesn't have any off-field things, like my caveat is, I think Arizona's alive if Ketel Marte can play. If he can't, they're out. I think it's too much of a loss. And then I would sort of look at Miami as that team. Pittsburgh might be too far back at this point. You said it. If you're a contending team, you don't lose the stupid games. You don't beat yourself. Unfortunately, Pittsburgh has done that more than Miami has. I think Miami has too much pitching and much better situational awareness and execution. I think they might be that dark horse if San Diego's not able to get in.
As a former pitcher, what do you see with Skeens? Is it, you know what, Is it as simple as these guys just can't throw 100 as a starting pitcher for 3, 4, 5 years? And this is going to happen. These guys that throw ultra, ultra hard, eventually they're going to break down or lose velocity. I mean, think about if we were doing the show 2 years ago, yeah. We would have said, if you could have any pitcher in the world given age, Skeens would be one. Strider would be at the top of the list. Strider never pitches anymore, and when he pitches, he's bad. Maybe it's just not sustainable to throw this hard, but you tell me what you see from a former pitcher here with Skeens.
So there are some mechanical anomalies going on and irregularities, Will, and the arm path is one, too. It's lengthened a little bit. I feel like he's a bit open at foot strike, meaning his lead leg, when he goes to land, it feels like that front side is already kind of releasing and opening up, which will cause you to have that arm path and the release point fall a little bit, and that elevates the pitch in the zone. Now, you can throw 100 miles an hour all you want, but if it's elevated, these guys are going to hit it. So the crispness and the late movement of the fastball is then negated because it stays on the same plane instead of having kind of that two-plane fastball where he throws 99 to 101. It's not only down, but you've got, you know, that late sink to it where he has been so effective. It's also affected his off-speed too, where it's flattened out. So I wonder mechanically if he's still trying to fight through that very difficult adjustment to make during the year. So I credit him for doing anything. You can tell the body language, Will, that when you're fighting it, doing everything in his control to mentally stay strong, but he knows. And that is the loneliest feeling when you're helpless out there and you're trying to get through it and add on the expectation, as you mentioned, one of the best pitchers of our time here the last handful of years. That's a huge uphill climb for him. Can he get it figured out? If he does, then they'll go on a run. But he's the X factor. If he can't get it mechanically right, I don't think Pittsburgh has a chance.
Getting PTSD from all of these words. You're triggering me because I've been there. I was there. I went through it, and you just – it's mentally exhausting because every pitch you're searching for it. Yep. You're finding, you're thinking, oh, where was my hand? Where was this? Where was that? You're like constantly self-diagnosing, and it gets exhausting, and it becomes a very frustrating game. It really does. But he's losing velocity too. So that's the other thing. It's not like he's got the 100. It's more 95, 96 and 99 and 100. It's different than 95, 96. We saw the pictures recently. Maybe he's got a few pounds. What do you make of the loss of velocity?
It is part of the mechanical issues too, because remember the fluidity. Yeah, he was so linear to the plate. And for people that are listening, you're like, okay, what does that mean? It very much a straight line. Like there's no wasted action. Like he's not rotational side swipe where you're losing that energy and that inertia. Everything would be going in a straight line. That's what we mean by being linear to the plate. And that has certainly affected the velocity. Now, weight gain or what? I don't know if Livy's got some of the food that he's taking. But that's a whole nother topic. But I think just starkly, the mechanics certainly would affect your ability to throw the ball as hard. And with his, there's more effort there, Will. You kind of know where I'm going, where he's using more energy. He's trying to create it, where in the past year or so, we've seen him just dialed, in the high 90s to low 100s. It's been free and easy. And when you're thinking about mechanics, when you're trying to figure it out each pitch, that is taking away from that ability to just be very nice and easy to home plate.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Who would you pick now to come out of the National League? What do you make of these Dodgers struggles? Is it midseason blues and no big deal, or is this something that's real?
I think it's real offensively, Will, and amazing that a couple of key cogs here. Remember years ago when Justin Turner was the keystone of that lineup. When he was out, it's like the dominoes just kind of fell, house of cards. You stuck him back in there. No, he wasn't the most notable guy, but he was the most important guy. Will Smith, when he's not in the lineup, whether it's in the middle or behind the dish, my God, is this a different team. Freddie Freeman looking like he's aging a little bit. Mookie's doing the same. And so I think offensively, it's the first time you look at this group, Will, and you think, all right, if they're not right in October and you catch a hot rotation and a good bullpen, there's enough swing and miss at the bottom of that lineup where you don't have to worry as much about traffic in front of Ohtani and in front of the big three at the top. So I think if I'm going to hitch my wagon, it'd probably be the Cubs or the Brewers at this point, just because I think their path is a bit more viable in knowing that if it is, hey, the Cubs and the Phillies, let's just say hypothetical 4-5, then it's Cubs Brewers. If the Brewers are the one seed, and now you don't see the Dodgers until that extended series, if they get there in the NLCS. So excited to see where it ends up.
And if Philly, whoever draws Philly, I mean, I know we talk about your record against teams under 500. That's not a fun, especially no. that best two out of three, because let's just say you're the Dodgers, you stick at the three, Philly somehow falls down to the six, which is not impossible. Boy, Wheeler, Sanchez, Lizardo, however you want to line them up. And I guess, who would you give the ball to in game one? Would you give it to Sanchez? I'm not sure, but you know, there's going to be a game two regardless, and that's a best of three. You could easily get knocked out no matter who you are.
100%. I'd probably go Sanchez, and my thought process being is that if I had to win a game to stay alive, I think I would want Zach Wheeler. I think that I would feel that for everything he's done for my team and where he's been in the biggest of moments, that's my guy. And also at the same time, if I do get the win with Sanchez, now I got this dude, and you're going to bed as the opposition thinking, I got to try and beat Zach Wheeler to keep my season alive. And not bad to fall back on Jesus Lizardo, who's been arguably their best starter for the bulk of the year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. What's your strongest football conviction, NFL? You think this team's going to be way better than everybody else? You think this team's not going to be as good as most people?
I don't want to give away what I'm going to pick for the VSiN NFL Futures Draft, but I keep going back to the top of my big board, and I have the New England Patriots winning the AFC East. I think there is so much overreaction with everything that happened off the field. I get that the schedule on paper is tougher, but I've also been through this where you look at it and you're like, oh, everyone's forgetting about what we just did. Oh, that's fine. Great. Nothing like a team just getting in the foxhole together, Will, and just brushing all the outside crap out. There is one team that cannot wait to get to the regular season. That is Mike Vrabel and the New England Patriots. I will not be shocked if they potentially upset the Seahawks on opening night in week one, because they are going to be as motivated a group to say, whatever happened, happened. We're embarrassed about what we just did in our last game in the Super Bowl. We're out to prove a point. So the Patriots to win the AFC East.
When is the Futures Draft? This Thursday?
Thursday, yeah. Thursday night, last 2 hours of Follow the Money, and yours truly with the number 5 selection overall. Patrick Maher, defending champ, somehow got the number 1 pick. Wow. We'll figure out how that came about, if there's any controversy there. But no, it should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Make sure Dustin updates everyone's picks pretty regularly, because I remember last year Matt Eumanns got very cranky that he was updating the picks too often. So I will remind Dustin, I reminded Matt that, hey, make sure we update the picks plenty, because Matt.
alacrity. Matt Eumanns wants alacrity in this draft on Thursday night.
We don't need to be updating the picks every 2 minutes. Enough. So good. All right, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for coming on. Let us know where we can find you.
Obviously, weekday mornings on VSiN, VSiN by the books, myself, Dave Ross, 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern. Follow me on X at JLew50. That's JLewFifty. Can't wait, brother. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right. Rate, review, subscribe. Thank you to Jason Lewis. Thank you for listening. Be back Friday. See you then.